I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WIAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I'm here offering you a safe space for independent thought. Next hour, it's Wednesday, we'll do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Do you know that I actually just paused there for a second and thought to myself, it is Wednesday, isn't it? The holiday time. All schedules are kind of out the window. It is Wednesday, though. I'm relatively sure. We're going to treat this like a Wednesday anyway. Next hour, we're going to do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We are at the cusp of a new year. And will 2022 be the year that you finally escape the medical system? I am the Harriet Tubman in the Underground Railroad to escape these people who've been running the healthcare system as they have finally shown their true face to you, I hope. I hope people are starting to see it. And I think they are. We're going to look, too. I kind of stumbled into it this morning with some other notes that I had. We're 50 years and 6 days. We just celebrated the 50th year of the war on cancer here in the United States. Cross your fingers. A cure any day now, right? We're going to take a look at some of the statistics around the war on cancer. And I've got a very long piece. I will not have near the time nor the understanding to get into. But there is some promising cancer research that has gone on around the world. Many people essentially saying they've unlocked the cure for this thing. Strangely enough, it's not making it to mainstream medicine here in the United States. I'll explain that to you next hour. We all know why, right? Yeah. Plenty to get to this first hour, though. Harry Reid died yesterday. That was a relic to me in my mind of the days when I got played and tricked into the two-party theater. Harry Reid was the bad guy. My guys, the guys with the R behind their names, they were the good guys. Harry Reid was the true enemy, which is true. It's just I didn't realize that all of them up there, 97% are true enemies of the American people. But it turns out Harry Reid was just another parasite in a city full of parasites. So he has gone on and to his eternal resting place, looking up at us fondly today. But it will change absolutely nothing. There was an article here just to kind of show you how we still haven't quite caught on, and I guess Republicans are no different. We've got a list today of the 10 people running for president on the Republican side. We're down one Democrat government parasite in Harry Reid, but there are always more lining up to take their place. Of course, the first one is Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis. Those are the first two that we know are running for president. And I was just looking at this list and just realizing, I mean, if these are our choices, if it's Biden or Harris or, boy, there's a lot of people talking about Hillary Clinton again suddenly. I'm just saying, I'm hearing her name a lot more than I've heard it probably in about the last 2 years as we see Joe Biden obviously incapable of handling the job mentally. I'm certainly hearing an awful lot. The Clintons have got some kind of master class thing going on. I've actually got a clip about that I meant to get to yesterday. The late night, air quotes here in the studio, comedy shows have been kind of hawking the Clinton master class. But anyway, if our choices are between this cadre of Republicans and Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or another disastrous Democrat to be named, it's really sad stuff for this country. As an observer, I don't know what you people are doing out there. Mike Pence is on the Republican list. It really takes quite a bit of tone deafness. I would imagine, the people surrounding Mike Pence and Mike Pence himself to say that he's in a position right now to to take the Trump supporters with him. That's going to be a big swing and a miss. Chris Christie, just an abominable person. Nikki Haley, a lot of Republicans pretty high on Nikki Haley. She's tough. She's a warmongering, blood-soaked criminal. Ted Cruz, you can elect Ted Cruz. I know a lot of people have been fond of him. If you want your war with Russia, Ted Cruz is your man. Mike Pompeo is also on the list if you want your war with anybody. Kristi Noem, Tom Cotton, another warmonger, Larry Hogan. He is the Maryland governor. It's really just quite a sad list. So Harry Reid's gone, but the people who are going to be taking his place are certainly nothing to be happy about. I know he wasn't president. I'm just saying this political class is just beyond redemption at this point. The whole thing needs to just be dismantled. Right across this, Peter Schiff had pointed this out. I don't even know if people know this. We're so distracted with the Omicron that we're not really paying attention. On Monday, President Joe Biden signed, and this is where the Republicans will destroy the country. On Monday, President Joe Biden signed a massive military spending bill into law. The 2022 National Defense Authorization Act authorizes $777.7 billion in military spending for this fiscal year. This ranks as the biggest military budget in U.S. history, topping the $740 billion budget in Trump's last year in office. The bill includes $740.3 billion for the Pentagon, $27.8 billion for the Energy Department's nuclear weapons program, and $9.9 billion for defense-related activities outside NDAA jurisdiction. Biden initially requested $753 billion. You hear that, Democrats? You understand that your party has been bought and paid for by the defense contractors as well? So Joe Biden's budget was even bigger than Donald Trump's budgets, which were bigger than Barack Obama's budgets. Everybody hawking for the defense industry here. Biden initially requested $753 billion for the 2022 NDAA. Congress added the additional spending. According to antiwar.com, quote, hawkish Republicans, unquote, pushed for the added funding, arguing that more money was needed to confront China. They're going to come take our stuff. This goes to show that despite claiming the mantra of fiscal responsibility, Republicans are more than happy to borrow and spend for their preferred programs and policies. Now, of course, this $777 billion does not include things like Homeland Security, the CIA, the FBI, the rest of the national security apparatus, which is now costing us well over $1 trillion, for those of you who remember. Soviet Union fell for almost exactly these same reasons. And I got to ask the question, how does a country end a huge war and actually end up spending more on the military the next year? How was that possible? I looked at charts of spending during World War II and the Vietnam War. They're big peaks. And then they come back down. Now, not only are the wars endless, but the spending is endless. And this is your Democrat and Republican. But, you know, you've got to love voting for all those R's. You can just stick your kids and your grandkids with the tab for these things. Of course, the Democrats are no better. There was a much more sad death yesterday, and that John Madden died. It's so interesting to me. As I've gotten older, I realize people like John Madden or even rock stars, and any of these people, even though they're, you know, could be flawed people, are still so much more valuable to society than somebody like a Harry Reid or a John McCain. John Madden actually brought joy to people during the course of his career. He was my kind of OG coach when I first started paying attention to football when I was a little kid. That was John Madden and the Oakland Raiders. That was back when teams were teams, not just an assemblage of free agent millionaires that hop from town to town, but that the teams had an identity. They kind of brought people in. I remember John Matusak and Dave Casper, Ray Guy right here from Southern Mississippi, Kenny Stabler, Mark Van Egan, Cliff Branch. Ah, Oakland Raiders, a nasty, dirty, rebel team. I guess I kind of associated with the more in the trenches people, the more rebels from a very, very early age. You know, one thing I started thinking about yesterday when thinking about John Madden, I'll be honest with you, I thought he was already dead. I haven't seen him in a while. He might have been sick. I think he was 85 when he died, and no disrespect to John Madden. It's just I was so used to seeing him, and I get lost in how many of these celebrities we continue to lose. But I remember that John Madden had an irrational fear of flying. It was well known that, you know, even when he was a commentator, he would take a bus. He had his own custom bus, probably a sweet ride, and he would take that from town to town because he just had this fear of flying. But at least with John Madden and his fear of flying, he didn't project this fear onto everybody else around him. You know, he made accommodations for himself because he feared flying. And I would imagine if you talked to John Madden, he would probably tell you he knew it was an irrational fear, that air travel is very safe. He just wasn't comfortable with it. But he didn't demand that everybody else make accommodations for him. No, he went about his business, and he probably didn't terrorize his own children with his fears. I doubt very seriously John Madden took his family and his friends and showed them endless videos of plane crashes and news stories about death in the airwaves. No, he just made his own accommodations because he had a particular fear. If you get the point I'm going to, we live in a society now where the hysterics among us project their fear onto us, terrorize their children, and demand that we bend our lives because they live in fear. But it was a simpler time back then. So rest in peace, John Madden. Roast in hell, Harry Reid. Be right back. This was a fun little story that's out there. The judge presiding over the Ghislaine Maxwell trial warned the courtroom Tuesday that the swell of coronavirus cases in New York City could result in a mistrial. Quote, "We are seeing an astronomical spike in the number of COVID positive cases in New York City over the last 1 to 2 weeks due to the Omicron variant." That was from Manhattan Federal Court Judge Allison Nathan. Now, to be fair, I think that's a little overblown. It's a good clickbait headline. It certainly got me in there that she did say that she may. It's really quite the thing. She said she may quarantine the jury, make them sit there through the weekend deliberating. The jury said, "Oh, look, we're making good progress. We're going to leave at 5 today. We'll be back at 9 tomorrow. We think we're doing it." Now, what do you think is the mental state of a jury if you pretty much tell them, "Hey, we're going to keep you through the New Year's Eve weekend, all those plans you had, all the things you thought you were going to do with loved ones, all the parties you thought you were going to attend. No, you're going to stay here unless you give us a verdict now." So anyway, we will see. The jury is probably very motivated now to get something done. I don't really actually anticipate a mistrial, but who knows? The fix may already be in. None of us would be surprised about that. But I did find this kind of funny. "I'm sorry I can't let this go. I know I'm being repetitive. I don't want to be repetitive, but until I am satisfied, I'm going to be repetitive. There are no pictures of Ghislaine Maxwell post-trial, except for the cartoon drawings we're getting from the court artist where she looks like skinny Oprah. But, you know, maybe my suspicions of this not being the real Ghislaine or there being some tomfoolery afoot, maybe this should make me feel better. There's still no picture." And what's so maddening to me is that with every single news story about the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, they have newly released photos, and they're all old. Every single one of them are from some time when she was hanging out with Epstein or somebody else, or she was at a party, or she was on the beach or on a yacht somewhere. I just want one newly released photo, and that is anything of her that shows her in a jumpsuit and actually could geographically tie her to New York City. That would impress me. None of these old photos do. But maybe my suspicion should be assuaged by this. Maxwell appeared. This is we have the cartoon drawings of skinny Oprah. That hasn't done it for me. But maybe the court's description of her physical movements during the trial. Maybe this will convince me this is her. Maxwell appeared to be smiling when she entered the courtroom at 9:49 a.m. wearing black on black. Her green folio tucked under her arm. Okay, so I've got an imaginary image of her. They're doing a very good job of describing her. I mean, no pictures. Not a single picture of her post-arrest. But we're getting some really good detail of what she would look like if we had a picture. Here's one. As a prosecutor disputed her defense's latest argument about instructions to the jury regarding how to debate one of the charges, Maxwell sat back and threw her right arm over the back of her chair, exuding an air of resignation. Okay, hold on. Yeah, I can picture that. Oh, that really is her. I'm sorry. Who was that? I saw a mugshot today of the nut job lady who got into the fight on the latest Delta Airlines thing. I haven't covered the story. It was another incident of Karen just freaking out on a plane, making a complete fool of herself. She got arrested. Boom. Mugshot. Who was it that was arrested the other day? I saw a mugshot of the police officer that pulled her gun instead of her taser. Saw a story about that. Boom, mugshot in the story. Every single story of any high-profile arrest, we get a mugshot, we get pictures of them getting out of the SUV to head into the courtroom, shackled coming out of a van. Some enterprising photojournalist captures them coming into the courtroom. We always get something. This time, we get cartoon drawings and descriptions of her mannerisms and her reactions in the courtroom. I know. I'm cynical. I'm jaded. I'm suspicious. We got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. Good morning. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
When it comes to Maxwell, you're just a little Johnny One Note, aren't you?
I mean, I can't. It's like a thorn in my paw, man. I want a photo. I want proof of life on this Ghislaine Maxwell thing. It was bad enough before I started seeing these cartoons drawn by the court artist. I mean, this thing looks absolutely nothing like any of the photos they're trotting out of this woman from the past.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is she's probably down in on that island with Epstein.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but Epstein didn't kill himself.
I have heard rumors of that. I mean, there's no tell. I mean, the whole thing stinks to high heaven. Why was she even back here? She knew they were looking for her. She knew all this stuff. To think that she was just hanging out in New Hampshire when she is an Israeli Mossad asset with access to the entire world and a fortune in money, why would she come back to the United States and just camp out? She didn't see this coming?
Well, my other question is, throughout the trial, where's all of the black books and all the evidence of all of the, you know, because, I mean,
yeah.
Every once in a while you get it leaked out. Oh, she's, you know, Bill Clinton was, who gives a damn if Bill Clinton was on there? Everybody would be shocked that Bill Clinton wasn't on it.
Yeah, we've got like five names. We've got 30 years of investigation. This, 25 years. It was 1996 when they first started investigating Epstein. We've got 25 years of investigation. And so far we have just five names as just, essentially casual context. The only one really implicated in any impropriety is Prince Andrew, but of course he's traveling the globe doing rich guy royalty stuff anyway, so nothing's happened to him. We get Bill Gates was on the plane, Donald Trump was on the plane, Bill Clinton was on the plane. We Alan Dershowitz may or may not have gotten a massage. Alan Dershowitz says no. I say, you're right. But we've got like five names after 25 years of investigation in a case where the whole thing revolves around residences like this townhouse in New York that was wired for sound and video in every single room in the mansion. And still, we just have five names, no Johns, no nothing. And they're couching all of this, even during the trial. When you listen to what they talk about, when they talk about the trial, they say she was caught, you know, she is accused of grooming women, going out and identifying young girls to groom for Jeffrey Epstein. It was not about Epstein.
Supposedly dead. It's all, you know, he's the only one that's going to talk about being groomed for.
Exactly. Yeah, when everybody knows, but we just pretend that it's not really a thing, and, you know, we're just waiting to see if she gets in trouble for pimping for Epstein. But that's not the crux of this case. The idea of this case was that this was a huge blackmailing operation run by intelligence agencies. I would imagine Israel's Mossad and our own CIA to compromise very powerful, very influential people for 30 years. And the media is just glossing over all of that.
And, you know, it's also the largest in the history of the world, the largest child predator ring in the press doesn't even want to talk about
it. Yeah, it was thousands of girls over the course of 30 years. It was thousands of girls. The prosecutors have put on four accusers.
I was going to say, there's thousands, and they brought out four.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're falling out of the woodwork. All you got to do is go and pick a few of them up and bring them you and have more than four.
Yeah. I mean, this whole thing is such a bait and switch. I don't know how they get away with finding her not guilty of everything. But since I'm not convinced it's actually Ghislaine Maxwell that's even being tried, I mean, how much would you have to pay some kind of a body double or something like that to do a couple of years and, you know, sneak out the back and work release or whatever else they could do for him? I'm just telling you, I know it sounds crazy, but I just smell a big fat rat in this whole thing.
And now we're going to stop the trial because of colds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now
we're going to stop the trial because of the colds.
Yep. We were going to bust the world's largest child predator sex trafficking ring ever, but then the sniffles came around and we had to call it all off.
Know, and, you know, we're out of NyQuil.
Right.
We don't have any Sudafed. So we're just going to call it all off, guys. Yeah. Come back maybe in 2023 when nobody has a cold anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite a little operation we're running here, isn't it?
It's quite comical.
Yeah,
quite comical. But at least they haven't staged her suicide.
Well, I just hope that at some point they call her up and say, "Hey, if we, you know, we're going to find this Patsy that's sitting in your chair. We're going to find Skinny Oprah guilty, but we do need you to swing by and take a couple of photos, make it look like you're sad and distraught. If you could swing by, take a couple of pictures, and then you can head right back to Tel Aviv,
or Epstein Island."
Yeah,
whichever it is.
If nothing else, to get this Mike Madison guy just to shut up about it.
Yeah, because he's just Johnny
One. He's obsessed. He's singularly obsessed. I'm like Thomas Dobbs with the COVID virus. All right, man. Thanks for the call. Got to jump to a break.
All right. Well, I'll be your Tate Reeves and just sit there with you.
There you go. All right. Thanks, man. All right. Quick break. And when I come back, I have a question for you. I'm going to need a conservative to call me up and please explain to me why you pay your federal income taxes every year. I'll tell you why this is a topic for today. I've got a couple of clips for you. I'm serious about this because I think conservative pay taxes the same reason that liberals in the left wear their masks and submit to vaccine mandates. I guess it's just fear. There's no common sense to it. I'll show you why when I come back. Stay with me.
What's your frequency, can it be shot? Things are drained.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. I look at people in their masks. I look at people in these lines where they just suddenly said, go get tested. We were talking earlier today, I guess there's charts out there showing the cases, the graphs of the cases, and this one just shoots up like a skyscraper, like a bottle rocket, straight into the stratosphere. I'd like to see the case count chart juxtaposed with the testing chart. I have my suspicions they would be remarkably the same. I look at colleges that have asymptomatic players, but they just got a positive test, so they are canceling bowl games. You know, a lot of people's financial fortunes hinge on these big events, but they just cancel them. Because we got some players. Are they sick? No, they're not sick, but they tested sick. I look at people walking around in these masks, it's just a constant reminder. To many people, it's a constant reminder to be afraid. That's what I think the masks are for. If you want to know why they're doing things, I think it is a be afraid thing. Don't forget, there's something you're supposed to be scared of. That's what I think the masks are. It's a visual representation, because if masking had never happened, most people would live their lives not even thinking about COVID during the day. But the masks make you constantly obsess about it. But the bottom line is, it all looks tremendously like cowardice to me. The football games really crack me up. We can put a bunch of really large, fast men onto a football field and smash them into each other. They could be paralyzed. They can crack limbs. They can have concussions. They can suffer horrific injuries, particularly to the leg. But we don't want a cold going around. Now, we can't risk them getting a cold. I mean, that's how absurd this is. COVID obviously is no danger to a young, healthy athlete. And this particular version is a cold. It's all cowardice. That's a setup for this, because I really want conservatives to explain this to me. Why are you paying taxes? Why are you paying your federal income taxes? I believe it is driven by the same cowardice and fear. We refuse to tell this federal government no. People wear masks, they get the shots, because, well, I was going to have to get it anyway, and my boss is going to be mad at me, and I don't want my coworkers to think I'm weird, or whatever you say. Why do you let the schools mask your children for a disease that does not affect them? Oh, I don't want to be a troublemaker. Well, I'll just let them do it for a little while. Surely it'll go away sometime in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. When they're in college, when they get out of college, when they get married, they probably won't have to wear a mask. It's just everything. It all reeks of cowardice to me. It's blind obedience. You've got a bunch of Republicans and Democrats, politicians out there that we know are massively corrupt, coming and telling you that you got to send them a third of your income. And what do Americans say? Okay. Now, why is this a topic today? Well, here's a report I hadn't touched on. This is actually about a week old news, but this is a report about it that I just can't ignore it any longer.
Now, the pandemic windfall does not end with, you've got con men, you've got scammers, hackers, all of them are making big bucks. But where are these bucks coming from? Well, if you're in America, it's coming from your pocket. And how much money are we talking about? Around $100 billion. Let me repeat, we're talking about a $100 billion COVID scam. Let me take you back to 2020. Every country was unveiling a COVID relief package. The economy needed support and governments obliged. We had subsidies, cash payments, loans for small businesses, different strategies basically in different countries. But the United States of America implemented the mother of all relief packages. Put together, they used up $3.4 trillion. That was the size of their relief package, $3.4 trillion.
And some of that was under Trump and some was under O'Biden. But y'all keep convincing yourself that you can change this government and things will actually change.
To put that number in perspective, the entire GDP of Africa, the whole continent, is just $2.6 trillion. So America spent $1 trillion extra on stimulus. And you know what they say about big budgets? Big budgets, big leaks. In other words, corruption. Around 3% of the total budget was swindled, 3% of $3.4 trillion. Where exactly did this money go? Most of it was wrongly distributed by the government, around $87 billion in improper unemployment benefits. Basically, the wrong people got the money. What about the rest? Most likely gobbled up by scammers. Is anyone chasing this lost fortune? Right now, the Secret Service is on the job. They're the ones chasing it. But they've had little success so far. 900 active investigations, 100 arrests, and 95 criminal cases. That's where things stand. And it may seem like a lot, but money-wise, they haven't really recovered very much. Around $3.5 billion, that's all.
All right. This is where your money's going. And I'm going to do a little bit of math for you in a second. I'm going to let her finish this report. $100 billion, just poof. Just gone away. But this is out of the trillions from the Trump administration and the Biden administration. And again, this is your children's, your grandchildren's money. It's not really affecting you, is it? So nobody rises up. Nobody cares. Who cares what kind of tab we stick our children with? That's their problem. Good luck with that, kids.
Just a reminder, this was public money. not $1 or $2 million, $3.4 trillion of public money. Why was there so little scrutiny over its distribution? Isn't America supposed to be squeaky clean? Well, clearly not. This money was supposed to keep...
She's obviously, I mean, you can tell from her accent, but she's obviously non-native here. Isn't America supposed to be squeaky clean?
Clean. Well, clearly not. This money was supposed to keep the U.S. economy afloat. It had three big objectives. Number one, $1,200 checks for most American adults. Number two, forgivable loans for small businesses. And number three, unemployment benefits. So good intentions, but poor implementation. The U.S. government did not...
Of course, all of these good intentions are in response to their horrific policies that crushed people's financial futures in the first place. Stripped them of income, stripped them of jobs. 50 million people got laid off. I played you the clip 2 days ago. The Amish, they had their best year ever in 2020. They crushed it. Crushed it. Because they all got COVID, they got herd immunity, and they just went about their business. They didn't stop anything. 2 weeks of church shutdowns when they first came ashore and they were wondering what they were dealing with. No, they didn't do any of these things, and they're killing it. They're crushing it.
Check where this money was going or who was getting these loans. Was it really small businesses or con men? Let me show you some examples. A businessman in Texas obtained $17 billion from the stimulus package. $17 billion. He had submitted 15 fraudulent documents to 8 different lenders. Do you know what he did with this money? He bought...
I hope he bought some politicians and some judges. I mean, you would think... I mean, $17 billion, that's pretty bold coronavirus relief fraud. You got to peel off at least $1 billion of that to make sure you've got the judges and your politicians bought off, because that's a big number. You might get caught. You just got to make sure you invest in the system so that you don't actually ever pay a price for it.
Multiple homes, paid off his mortgages, and purchased a fleet of luxury cars. Doesn't sound like a small business idea, does it? Here's another example. This one's from Florida. Another conman secured $3.9 million in loans. Guess what he spent it on? A Lamborghini sports car. Again, not really a small business idea.
Hookers and blow. So I did the math. This is, again, this is why I bring up this topic today. Of why exactly you roll over like a well-behaved puppy every year and send the federal government money? $100 billion. Let's just do the math here. I meant to bring my jingle in, my mathematics jingle. Average taxpayer, this figure I worked out a year or two ago, I'm not really sure if this has changed much higher or lower. Average taxpayer pays $9,000 a year in federal income taxes. So $100 billion is what 11,111,112 people paid in federal income taxes. 11 million people. 11,111,112 people. This is, they take every bit of the money that they sacrifice to send up, and you're one of them. I mean, you can try to make yourself feel better and say, no, those are just the taxpayers in California. They footed the bill for all of this fraud. Of course, I just read off to you where the Republicans and Joe Biden just goosed up the defense industry's budget to $777 billion. I guess I should look at it in context. At least this was just a one-off of $100 billion in wasted money, as opposed to decades of wasted money going to the Defense Department for $400 hammers and F-35 trillion-dollar programs. Of course, I know this is probably not popular. This is tough love stuff, people. You conservatives have been cheering for that kind of stuff, that kind of graft and corruption. You actually, when they come out and tell you, hey, we're going to steal 700, and this was Trump's last year, we're going to come out and steal $740 billion from the American people and give it to the defense contractors, and Republicans cheer. Woo! The Republicans actually brag, I'm spending more than the last guy. And he spent more than the guy before him. I'm going to spend the most in history, and Republicans cheer. And that's year after year, decade after decade, that scam has been going on. I guess I should be happy. This is just a one-time $100 billion toilet flush of our grandchildren's money. But what's so sick to me about this when I look at it is that this is 11 million people in the United States. When you look at every nickel that they sent up to Washington, D.C. And, you know, people sacrifice to pay these things. Instead of putting your kid through college for cash, instead of buying a car for cash, instead of buying a home for cash and avoiding the debt trap, you send this money to Washington, D.C. They take it and just whoosh. And yet every April 15th, you do your patriotic duty and you fill that stuff out. But this 11 million people, 11,111,112 people who had their money flushed down the toilet and given to scammers in this giant COVID heist, they actually had their money stolen twice. The government stole it once. And then the criminal class preyed upon itself and stole it again. Again, most people don't really care. Because you're just going to pass the tab on to your kids. If that one isn't bad enough, I've got another one for you for some COVID cash and where it went when we come back.
You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
If you listen to the show regularly, you know I have taken it upon myself to pass along thanks to the great American taxpayer who funds, you know, the military-industrial complex, Big Pharma. They don't seem to thank you. I mean, Big Pharma's case, I mean, hell, they charge you so much for medical care, even though you're just filling up their coffers. But anyway, I always want to thank you. There's another group that should be thanking the American taxpayer. I haven't heard it yet, so I'll pass along the thanks. But here's the story when it comes to, this is CARES Act money. You remember the CARES Act, right? CARES Act that was passed through a Democratic Congress and then signed by a Republican president, Donald Trump. You remember that one, right? That's where all this this scam and money wasting went. But it's seriously, there's probably not a lot of toddlers listening to this show, so what do we care? Good luck with that, kids.
You know, federal pandemic relief aid has enabled the U.S. Department of Education to make significant investments in under-resourced schools, including many historically black colleges and universities. More than 20 HBCUs are using those stimulus funds to help alleviate students' financial burden by paying outstanding tuition and fees, giving them a fresh start. Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia, was one of the first HBCUs to do so.
We're committing $5 million, assisting nearly 2,000 students with account balances. We are reinventing the college experience so that our students can graduate nearly debt-free.
Students we talked to said they were stunned and relieved by the unexpected financial assistance.
A lot of students were contemplating how they were going to start fresh, come up with thousands of dollars. With that announcement, that definitely allowed some students to just breathe.
So we're seeing a lot more movement here, and it's taking hold in many schools. We have a lot more on cnbc.com/investinu.
Now, there you go. So thank you to the U.S. taxpayer. You're wiping out some student loans for kids. Particularly at the historically black colleges and universities. I loved this one. This is just before Thanksgiving, President Hildreth, I don't see his first name here. This was one of the colleges here. Meharry's, it's a historically black medical school. And they took their COVID money and the chancellor, the president, whoever he is, he sent out a really heartfelt message just before Thanksgiving, talking about all of this money that's sloshing around from COVID. Quote, "We felt that there was no better way to begin distributing these funds than by giving our students who will soon give so much to the world. Students with direct deposit saw the money transferred into their bank accounts on the eve of Thanksgiving, and all others were able to pick up their check on campus. The $10,000, this is from the president of this university who took taxpayer dollars, stolen from you and your grandchildren. And it doesn't matter if you're white or black. You're all toting this bill. This is coronavirus relief money was used. They just direct deposited $10,000 into all their students' accounts. They did give a little guidance with it here. Here, this is from the president of the university. The $10,000 is yours to manage. But I would be remiss if I didn't strongly advise you this. Thanksgiving is, I would be remiss if I didn't strongly advise you this Thanksgiving to be good stewards of what you've been given. I know Black Friday shopping is tempting, but you'd be well advised to use the funds to pay expenses related to your education and training. They gave them $10,000 just direct deposit into their accounts the day before Black Friday. But they did put out a message. Hey, we know that's going to be tempting. This new $10,000 that just hit your checking account. So I just asked the question. I'm going to switch topics because we're going to get into Hump Day Health on the other side of this break. But I've just got to ask you, what is it that that compels you? Is it still this patriotic duty? Well, Mike, during Obama's term, they were taking $9,000 a year from me. Under Donald Trump, he cut taxes, and they only stole $8,200 from me during Trump's term because of the great Trump tax cuts. That's the Overton window where the Republicans and conservatives is, I don't care if you steal from me, but could you steal a little less? That's really where the line in the sand is when it comes to that. But there's some good uses of your money. Hackers, thieves, and absolving people of student loan debt. Or maybe just a bunch of Black Friday sales. Thanks, taxpayers. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we focus in on health-related topics, particularly when it comes to natural treatments and trying to convince people that most of what you are suffering are nutritional deficiencies, not lack of pharmaceuticals. More on that in just a minute. I start every show by explaining to you I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not a virologist, not an immunologist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a nothing. I'm also not Thomas Dobbs, so I'm not bought and paid for. I have not attended any speaking engagements where I was paid to speak in front of Moderna. And I have not taken any vacations on Eli Lilly. I did take a trip on Janssen. I've been very full and transparent on that. Of course, that was just as a plus one. But there is no big pharma money, no big pharma training going into what you hear here. So you can use your own discernment and try to figure out what's best to do for you. I am dedicating 2022, as I think more eyes are awakened, more eyes are open now to the medical system. I will be trying to continue to help lead you out, to help you escape the United States medical system, and we're going to get some stats on that, too, through 2022. So start getting your mind right, and we'll start working on it. I love the emails I've gotten from listeners who have. They are in the process of escaping the medical system, and it is a beautiful thing to see, not because of me. Many of them came to these kinds of natural solutions to their problems years and years ago, but they recount their stories of healing their own bodies through nutrition, and it is a beautiful thing to know that Big Pharma will not take a pound of flesh from many of the listeners of the show. I love my quote of the day for this portion of the show is actually a meme. It's a picture of three silver aliens, you know, the big oversized heads, the big black eyes, and they're staring down at planet Earth, and they say, how unusual. They entrust the management of their health to those who profit from their sickness. Yes. Yes, it is unusual when you think of it that way. Most people just don't. Part of this show is really to discredit the medical establishment. Again, I'm going to say it again. It's doctors and nurses that I know and love. There are fantastic healthcare professionals out there that are really about your health. But the medical establishment is a sales organization for Big Pharma and for endless treatments. But it's also, as we are finding out more and more over the last couple of years, it's not one of compassion. Now, this is on MSNBC, not known for their love. But this is one of the medical professionals. I get lost on all of these nut jobs that are endlessly across the mainstream media telling you to rush out and get the jabs. But this is one of the usual ones, you know, these TV docs that they bring on to try to scare the bejesus out of you and tell you your only choice, your only solution to anything that's happening right now is the shot. But just listen to this. This was on MSNBC, Joy Reid's show, of course, as a medical professional explains the approach we should take with the unvaccinated. Now remember, this is somebody supposedly dedicated to the health and welfare of his patients, regardless of age, sex, gender, and I would think vaccination status, but maybe I'm wrong there.
Then I do think negative incentives, whether it's a vaccine mandate in the workplace or, and this is where it gets controversial, but we need to start talking about this, the bioethics of it broadly, because this is not the last respiratory pandemic we're going to face, Joy. What do we do with somebody who's unvaccinated, who's taking advanced ICU therapies from somebody who is vaccinated in the hospital? How do we rank order that priority?
Right, right.
We do it for organs, kidneys, livers, lungs. We say, did you smoke? Did you drink recently? If you did, you're lower on the list, even if you need it. We need to start thinking of that model, have bioethics around it, a framework, because this is not going to be the last respiratory pandemic we face.
And so what he is saying there, if you miss his point, we need to really start looking at whether or not we're even going to treat the unjabbed. I mean, seriously, they're just taking up beds. Do we really owe them anything? Medical care? And, of course, this is from the left on this particular channel. But this is talked about across the medical establishment. This is the left that told you just a few months ago, health care was a right. Everybody deserves health care. Well, everybody except for, of course, the unvaxxed. I want to talk about one thing real quick. With the rise of Omicron, a lot of people have emailed me, and I love you for doing it. You know, I've got my ivermectin and my hydroxychloroquine ready to go. Do you need any? Do you know where to get it? They'll send me links. Hey, you can get your ivermectin here. You can get your hydroxychloroquine there. And there's a story today. I didn't even get into it, but Japan has had great success using ivermectin. There are the places in India that have been well documented where they took the ban on ivermectin that America has taken, and they took it off and, of course, just totally crushed their – they literally flattened their curve using ivermectin. I do believe there's – it's not 100%, but I believe that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine would have been just fantastic therapies for us to have used, but we live in a corrupt medical system here. But – I almost feel like there's a propensity for a lot of people, particularly in, you know, kind of on our side of things, that say, well, we don't need these shots. These shots are dangerous. They haven't been tested. And there are available therapies in hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. It feels like within that movement, there's always almost a thing. I'm going to prove it. I'm going to take it. I mean, everybody is very excited to start taking these drugs. If they get a sniffle, they immediately rush to an ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. The only reason I bring it up is because I want to remind people these still are pharmaceutical drugs. And while both shown over decades to have been incredibly safe, I mean, don't misunderstand me. Nuance is very difficult in today's world. I am an absolute supporter in ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and anybody who wants to use it, you're using a safe drug that has shown great efficacy when it comes to COVID. But the gist of this show is to try to tell you that if you give your body what it needs, you don't need big pharma. Now, some pharmaceuticals are lifesavers. There have been times that drugs are needed, particularly in acute situations where your life may be on the line. But we fall into this trap, I think, repeatedly, and it almost feels like the other side of this debate, we've got the hysterics and the pro-vaxxers who say ivermectin can't even be talked about online and you've got to take this jab. And on the other side, we've got people just chomping at the bit to take these drugs. But there are other courses of treatment. So let me just tell you what I would do if I started feeling kind of punky. I'm not going to jump on a pharmaceutical at all. I'm going to give my body, my immune system, what it needs. And I wanted to talk about one thing, quercetin, because I ran across an article about it. Quercetin is a naturally occurring thing in foods, and you can also supplement with it. Quercetin works much like hydroxychloroquine, a drug found to be effective against SARS-CoV-2 when used early enough. Both are zinc ionospores, meaning they shuttle antiviral zinc into your cells. Frontline critical COVID-19 Care Alliance's early treatment protocols include quercetin at a dose of 250 milligrams twice a day in combination with 100 milligrams of elemental zinc and 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C twice a day. These are all natural things. No pharmaceutical company need be involved. Quercetin also has other mechanisms of action that make it useful in the fight against COVID-19. For example, it may inhibit SARS-CoV-2 spike protein to ACE2 receptor docking. By binding to the ACE2 receptor and the spike protein interface, quercetin inhibits viral attachment and entry to the cell. Quercetin also modulates NLRP3 inflammasome, an immune system component involved in the uncontrolled release of pro-inflammatory cytokines that occur during a cytokine storm. Now, here are quercetin-rich foods. You don't even have to supplement with this stuff, but if you give your body and your immune system what it needs, you don't need big pharma. Quercetin-rich foods include onions, shallots, apples, broccoli, asparagus, green peppers, tomatoes, red leaf lettuce, strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, cranberries, black currants, and green tea. And this idea, I mean, like I say, if I start feeling punky, I'm taking quercetin, zinc, vitamin C, and vitamin D. Now, if I progress and things look like it's not working, something's overwhelming my immune system, believe me, I'll take the ivermectin, I'll take the hydroxychloroquine, but my first knee-jerk reaction is not ever going to be for a pharmaceutical drug. I realize when I'm getting sick, it's because my body's crying out for something. Something's not working right. The Substack Modern Discontent recently posted an anthology series on the benefits of quercetin, including the finding that it works like hydroxychloroquine, a drug found to be effective against SARS-CoV-2 when used early enough. So, I'm just saying. There are natural things for this. The idea of proving that ivermectin works, I would imagine that'd be pretty satisfying too. And as I say, if I started getting sick, I would certainly pop an ivermectin. But my goal is to just give my body what it needs. I'm going to talk a little bit about the amazing body in just a little bit, too. I wish I could show you a video, but I'll refer you to it in my show notes today. I wanted to add this, though, talking about Big Pharma. You know, now Pfizer has rolled out their pill. Merck has rolled out a pill. Poor Merck. Their lobbying efforts are anemic at best. And Pfizer is really, as usual, we are the United States of Pfizer, after all. Pfizer is the go-to drug, and Merck has been relegated to the if Pfizer pills aren't available, then go ahead and take the Merck. I talked about it the other day. We've bought 10 million courses of treatment of the Pfizer, 3 million of the Merck, which doesn't even really work. But we went ahead and bought it anyway. Taxpayer money. Thank you, taxpayer. But I ran across this when you were looking at these new pills. Unfortunately, both Pfizer and Merck's drugs come with some serious drawbacks. The biggest being that they can cause life-threatening reactions when widely used medications like statins, taken by people with high blood pressure, blood thinners, and even some antidepressants. What's more, the FDA doesn't recommend Paxlovid for people who have severe liver and kidney disease. So again, they've just released a couple more drugs with a laundry list of horrific side effects as another one of our saviors here. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at this and thinking, well, if these drugs are dangerous for people who are on statins, blood thinners, or antidepressants, who's left? There's a pretty small market in this country, because I would imagine it's got to be the majority of Americans are taking either statins, blood thinners, or antidepressants. We got 250 million prescriptions a year just of antidepressants. It's not 250 million people, but that's how many prescriptions are written per year, and that was several years ago. It's probably worse than that now. So anyway, beware this idea that Pfizer and Merck, you don't have to take the jab. I'll just wait and take the pill. You might want to do your own research on that as well. I'm going to do something real quick. I'm going to take my headphones off here. I'm going to show you what I do every day, because I want to show you how hard it is. I'm going to take I drink this Bulletproof coffee every morning. It's got butter and it's got coconut oil in it. So it's got a lot of healthy fats. It's organic butter. It's organic coconut oil. So this should be done with fats. But I'm going to take my vitamin D tablets here real quick. I'm going to show you the huge monumental task that it is to keep your vitamin D levels high. If you want to start, if you want to time me, you can start now. I got to go over here and get my backpack. Backpack's like a purse. Sometimes it takes me a little while to find stuff in there. All right, here we go. My water's over here. I always have water with me. There goes one. That's 5,000 IUs. All right, and 10,000 IUs. I mentioned the coffee because I take it with, you're supposed to take vitamin D. It's fat soluble, so you take it with something that's got fat in it. So, all right, and time. Yeah. This is what Americans will not do and Thomas Dobbs won't recommend. That's how long it takes to have a good vitamin D supplementation program during the course of your day. Or during the spring in December that we're having, you could go outside for 20 or 30 minutes, maybe a little bit more. We're still farther away from the sun, so it takes a little bit more time. That's what I do for my immune system. I don't have ivermectin. I don't have hydroxychloroquine. I'm glad to know I've got some sources out there if I need it, but I think I'm doing good. That seriously, what was that? 14 seconds? I'll be right back. Can I get your hand to ride on? Just a piece of lead to fight on. But I'm not to fly my kite on. Do you want to flash a light on? Take a look, it's on display for you. Coming down, no, not today. Did you meet your fortune teller? Get it off with. There are really a couple of different elements to this show every week. There is the how to take control of your health. We talk about supplementation. I'll play you clips from doctors that give you nutritional strategies. We talked about reducing heavy metal toxicity. Last week I played a clip from a doctor talking about resetting your thyroid for people who have thyroid issues. So there's the how, and there's also the why. And the why I've kind of taken to mean, can I just discredit the medical community to you? And again, so many great doctors and nurses out there. This is not to demean them. It's just the system. It is the system. And many of them are in the system, and they know it's no good. But they can still help their patients if they will teach them about nutrition. But just the failures of the U.S. medical system, I think, need to be highlighted, because my thing is, I think so many people think, well, they're going to figure this out. I'm just going to keep doing those 5Ks every year, and certainly they're going to cure something soon. You got to believe in the science. Look, the science is butting right up to the profitability. Profitability is winning. I ran across this article, and it is way too long and involved and footnoted to do it. But if you're interested in cancer, fighting cancer, preventing cancer, you can email me always and get my show notes on the health show at MikeMadison@WYEB.com. MikeMadison@WYEB.com. It's a tremendous article about microphages and cancer. And it's almost all international studies. There are these scientists who are making discoveries about how to get the human immune system to give it what it needs, and it will actually fight cancer on its own. There's also a video in here, and this is the one thing that I think is so fascinating about the human body. And I make this point quite often, so again, I'm going to repeat myself. I do this. I know I do. You know, when you cut your arm, and you see that cut, and it bleeds, and the skin is open there. And if you just watch it over the course of a couple of days, the skin just stitches itself right back. And within a week, you can't even tell where the cut was. There's no pain. There's no evidence. You can look and look and look. The body just heals itself. It just comes back together. It's absolutely really astounding when you stop and think about that for a second. Well, what I try to convince people, explain to people, is the same things happen inside your body. These are things you don't see. And if you give your body what it needs to repair properly and repair quickly, it does it quickly. It will undo damage that has been done to the inside of your body through things like poor nutrition or other conditions that you might have. There's this video. It's on cell.com. I think I've got a link to it in my show notes. You can look. It's only 20 seconds and there's no audio to it. Let me get down here and say what they did. These make microphages. And this whole article is about cancer and how these microphages or phages, again, I'm not a scientist, how they help repair the body. Recently, researchers experimentally used a laser to split a blood vessel in two and then watched miraculously as microphages literally seized the broken ends of the blood vessel and stuck them back together. And it's got a video of this, some kind of, you know, microscopic video. I want to watch it again right now while I'm talking to you, but it makes not for good radio. But it is, they cut this blood cell, and you see this little stream. It's colored in this film. This little stream of green stuff goes to these two ends of a severed blood vessel, grabs them, pulls them back together, and then scoots off, and the blood vessel looks like it's back to doing what it was doing before. I mean, just stop and marvel at what the human body is capable of doing. The problem is we don't give our bodies the materials that they need to perform these miraculous acts. But I wanted to get into this. Again, this goes back to kind of just showing you what the system we've created here is. The war on cancer began with the National Cancer Act of 1971, a United States federal law. The act was intended, quote, to amend the Public Health Service Act so as to strengthen the National Cancer Institute in order to more effectively carry out the national effort against cancer, unquote. It was signed into law by President Nixon on December 23rd of 1971. My public school math tells me that was 50 years ago, almost to the day. 50 years ago and what, 6 days ago. 50 years of the war on cancer. How's that working out for us? They've got some, the cancer industry has reached a dead end in this, they're saying in this article, and this is the article on microphages. So this article kind of takes the same tact I do. Tell you that what we're doing right now isn't working, so we might want to look to other things. It says the cancer industry has reached a dead end. The median cost for new cancer drugs is now above $150,000. The cost of a year of life gained, $200,000. One in three cancer patients must turn to friends or family to pay for care. I mean, it just goes through this just horrific cost of treating cancer in this country as it stands right now. Now, understand, when you hear cost, somebody gets that money. It's a cost to us. It's a benefit to others. So is it any wonder that 50 years and 6 days now, we've been working on a cure for cancer, hadn't quite gotten around to it. $200,000 per year from a cancer patient? How much of our medical system wants to cut off $200,000 a year? Here's some statistics on what we've done against cancer over this past 50 years in the war against cancer. Lifetime risk for cancer is approximately 40% in humans, but just 4% in most all other large-bodied species of animals. So this is not just inherent in human beings that we're just genetically flawed and, you know, things just get sick. I believe it's so much largely environmental, both in what we're eating and what we're exposed to. 2-year survival of newly diagnosed cancer patients is just 7% over the past 27 years of the war on cancer. Chemotherapy kills cancer patients more than the disease does. My mother died from the chemotherapy. 70% of tumors are solid masses that chemo and radiation cannot penetrate. The treatment failure rate for solid tumors is approximately 90%. Tumor drug resistance sets in 100% of the time. Chemotherapy achieves a 5-year survival only 2% of the time. I was surprised by that. These are all documented. You can follow all of these links if you want to get the story and look at it. I was surprised by that because I know a lot of people who've gone through chemotherapy seem to do very well over a long period of time. I also know people who went through chemotherapy and succumbed to the disease a few years later. But the mortality rate for all cancers in the U.S., approximately 152.4 deaths per 100,000 people, hasn't budged since 1930. In recent decades, the cancer mortality rate has continued to rise. And this goes on and on into cancer stuff. And it just shows you, look, that the cavalry's not coming. The cavalry is enjoying the ride right now. They're making massive amounts of money of this war on cancer. And that's, I believe, what is driving this. I guess I'll take a quick break and then come back because I wanted to talk a little bit about some of these associations, too. I kind of ran across this in the morning, and then we're going to get into some other things that may be a little bit more helpful to you. But I think the exposure of what the system that you've been literally laying your life in their hands. Well, no, that's not literal. It's not actually you're laying into their hands. So I take back the literal part. You are entrusting. You're entrusting the health of yourself, your loved ones, your children into a system right now. And it's not working. It's time to take the reins yourself. Make 2022 that year. I'll be right back.
Waiting.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I want to remind everybody there is one medical practice here that I am proud to talk about here on this show, and that is Integrated Medical and Wellness Clinic. This is a new clinic that has opened up in Ridgeland. It's a one-of-a-kind treatment center focused on increasing your quality of life. Their approach is based on the latest therapies and science in integrative medicine. What is integrative medicine? They look at everything. They look at anything that influences health, wellness, and disease. They're taking into consideration. This includes the mind, nutrition, community, as well as the body. Good health promotion and the prevention of illness are paramount. This is the model we should be following, trying to keep you from getting sick. They have decades of experience. Their integrated medical team are specialized in best to treat your medical needs. They offer patients all natural and customized healthcare solutions that focus on a, and this is so important, inside to outside philosophy. They blend traditional with their treatment programs, traditional medicine with their treatment programs designed to relieve pain. If you have pain, particularly joint pains, these are the people you need to see. They will give your body what it needs to further lubricate joints and stop some of this pain. If you're looking at things and thinking that you need a surgery, this may be a stop. They may be able to help you before you have to have something more drastic done. You're certainly a good first consult. We're going to have the people from Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic on the show in the next couple of weeks to talk about. They've got a nutritionist on staff there to help people learn what to give your body so that your body will operate properly. This is Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic. Goal is to provide exceptional healthcare options with an emphasis on patient education. To that end, they offer non-surgical protocols to help avoid total surgery, platelet-rich plasma to accelerate healing and recovery from injury. You can reach them 601-843-6195, 601-843-6195, but we know what we like to do. We like to check them out online first. Go to imawc.com. imawc.com. That's Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic. They are on just off of Draperton, I believe it is, the street, right off of Highland Colony by the Costco in Ridgeland. People need to support these kinds of clinics that are looking at your body inside out. This is and is the future for those people who want to actually live in good health, not just treat symptoms of disease. I wanted to talk about this real quick just because, again, this really kind of gets into this idea of, well, you know, we've got all these people working on the war on cancer and the war on this and the war on heart disease and the war on all these other things. Certainly we can trust these experts. There was an article I ran across about ultra-processed foods. And these are most of the things you're going to find in bags that have got bold flavors and these kinds of things. You use a ton of hydrogenated oils and a bunch of chemicals to give you a taste that you actually become addicted to. You know what ultra-processed foods are. And it's a large part of Americans' diets, unfortunately. Ultra-processed food manufacturers have also launched a successful campaign to convince the public that obesity is not caused by their products, but by lack of exercise. Coca-Cola is among them. And toward that end has provided funding to universities and a wide spectrum of medical groups, including, now just think about this for a second. I had a big old soda last night. I went to a movie. And I gorged myself when I go to the movie. It's like that one time I just tell everybody, look out, you're not going to think it's me when you watch me eat at a movie. I love eating popcorn and drinking a big fat soda. I pay for it because my body's not used to that stuff. But I know. And it's for some reason in my mind, it's worth the sacrifice. I don't go very often, but I had a big old soda yesterday. I'm not saying you can never have another soda, but just think about here is who Coca-Cola has been sponsoring. And just think, does this make any logical sense to you? We know, I mean, these sodas, and not to pick on Coca-Cola, could be any of the high fructose corn syrup or aspartame laden drinks. They're not vitamins. Can we agree on that? We know they're not vitamins, yet they provide funding to universities and a wide spectrum of medical groups, including the American Heart Association, the American Lung Association, the American College of Cardiology, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. Does it not seem a little odd that soft drink companies, either high sugar, high fructose corn syrup, or aspartame chemical-laden soft drink companies are sponsoring. The Heart Association, the Lung Association, the College of Cardiology, and the American Academy of Pediatrics. The story went on to say, you can't help but wonder if that's why the Harvard Medical School Partners in Health, a recipient of Coca-Cola funding, writes this about obesity. Quote, obesity results from energy imbalance. Too many calories in, too few calories burned. A number of factors influence how many calories or how much energy people burn each day, among them age, body size, and genes. But the most variable factor and the most easily modified is the amount of activity people get per day. And this goes back to the idea of calories in, calories out. It doesn't matter where the calories come from. If you burn more calories on the treadmill than you took in, and during the course of your day, we're burning calories constantly, then you're going to be fine. The quality of calories matters too. Now, these big industry groups try to get you to focus on, hey, fatty, it's not our problem. You just aren't doing enough exercise. You're not burning enough calories during the day. The phrase is, in the fitness industry, you cannot out-exercise a bad diet. If you want six-pack abs, here's another one, six-pack abs are made in the kitchen, not in the gym. So I'm just telling you, these kinds of big food industry people with tons of dollars sloshing around are sponsoring these medical groups that are telling you they're doing the cutting edge research for your health, but they're taking money from businesses that are actually not good for your health. This went into, how much time have I got left here? This went into the factors of COVID around obesity. It was pretty amazing. I'll tell you what, I may save this because I want to get into some other things, but I will just tell you, look, being obese has been a problem. Being overweight, having a high BMI during this time of COVID has led to poor outcomes. 71.7% of the critical patients were overweight, obese, or severely obese. And again, for those of us who spend 365 days a year paying some level of attention to our health, it's a little insulting that we have to upend our entire lives for people who suddenly are focused on one virus, but they have neglected their health for decades and decades. No judgment there. I did the same thing. But if Thomas Dobbs had come out and said, hey, we kind of need to knock off the obesity and the diabetes in Mississippi, this would help us a lot along the way, I'd have a ton more respect for him rather than just telling him, sit around, stew in your own juices, isolate, wear a mask, and get the jab. That's all he told. None of that is helpful whatsoever. When I come back, we'll get into some more useful information. Stay with me.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the day today in Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. Whenever I cover anything on these shows, these are the only show notes that I really kind of keep each day. So if people want them, if they want to take a look at this cancer article and microphages, it's a big, meaty read. I'll put it that way. Lots of resources in it. But, you know, if you're concerned about cancer, you're fighting cancer yourself and your traditional stuff's not working, I mean, it's time to throw some Hail Marys. And, a lot of evidence that they are seeing how they should be treating cancer. It's just, unfortunately, not as profitable. I did want to finish up on this story. I talked a couple of weeks ago about oil pulling. I advise anybody who wants to improve their health, this seems to be something that has been used for thousands and thousands of years. And that's the really funny thing. Boy, with all our shiny beakers and all of our scientists and their snazzy clothes and their white lab coats, so many things. We would be so much better off to look to, you know, eons ago for some of the things that people use. Garlic, for one, been around for thousands of years. We talked about that last week. But anyway, talked about oil pulling. Again, beware. If you've got loose fillings, you might want to be careful with oil pulling, so I'm told. But oil pulling, using a good organic oil, is supposed to be very good for mouth health. But I ran across another story. This was from Study Finds. Poor dental health may also lead to poor mental health, a new study reveals. Researchers from the University of Birmingham say developing gum disease and tooth issues can also increase a person's risk of suffering from depression and anxiety over the next few years. Along with mental health problems, study authors found that a history of gum disease can significantly raise a person's chances of developing autoimmune diseases, heart disease, and even metabolic disorders like diabetes. And this article is long, too, just talking about all of the different consequences of really bad gum health, bad mouth health. Poor oral health is extremely common, both here in the UK and globally. When oral ill health progresses, it can lead to a substantially reduced quality of life. However, until now, not much has been known about the association of poor oral health and many chronic diseases, particularly mental ill health. This was from one of the authors of this study, the co-authors, Jant Singh Chandan. This is a university release. They went through, it talks about the details of this study. In addition to anxiety and depression, the study finds a 33% increase in the risk of developing autoimmune diseases like arthritis, type 1 diabetes, and psoriasis among people with dental problems. Previous studies have found a link between high blood pressure and gum disease. Moreover, severe infections from periodontitis can create complications for the heart and lungs among people who fail to get treatment. With that in mind, the team discovered an 18% increase in the risk for cardiovascular disease among patients with gum disease. Puts them at higher risk for heart attack, stroke, and dementia. Odds of developing type 2 diabetes also increased by 26%. So you can see having good oral health is obviously as important as well. Now, there are things you can do at home. I've got a study here. It'll be linked in my show notes. 5 natural ways to reverse gum disease without going to the dentist. And these are all things that you can do at home. I'll go through a couple of them in the time that I've got left here. But just, you know, so much of this stuff, you know, I don't know what I'm going to find when I get ready for a show. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I read some PubMed studies. Some of it I basically don't understand. And so I look for trusted sources to kind of put it in lay speak for me. But you can do these internet sources if you want to regain your dental health. You don't need me, or your oral health. You don't need me. You don't even really need your dentist to start taking charge of your oral health. You can do that today by just a quick internet search of natural ways to improve oral health. And it's going to tell you, this is from a justnaturallyhealthy.com website. It talks about first thing you need to do is you brush your teeth 3 times a day and floss at least once, what it says. And that's pretty common, what you get from your dentist. But then it gets down into some of the nutritional stuff, along with everything else they do, talking about vegetables and fruits. Antioxidant-rich foods and vegetables are good news for your grin. Antioxidants tamp down areas of inflammation and neutralize free radicals, harmful molecules produced out of bacteria in the gums. Also in the white blood cells, fighting low-grade infections. So this is, again, if you use proper nutrition, you'll help your oral health. They recommend taking vitamin C. Reduces inflammation, also helps the mouth knit gums back into the base of teeth by supporting the growth of connective tissue. If your diet is low in C, collagen can't link correctly, and the capillaries get fragile, which leads to easy bleeding. This is from Jane Higdon, a research associate at the Linus Pauling Institute and author of Evidence-Based Approach to Vitamins and Minerals. And so they recommend at least 400 milligrams a day of vitamin C. Before I took my vitamin D earlier on air, I took 2 grams of vitamin C, as I do every single morning. It does have me going to the bathroom because I have it in a big jug of water before I come on air. But I keep my vitamin C high. It also talks about calcium. Another key dietary component of a healthy smile is calcium. An adequate supply ensures that the bone anchoring teeth stays strong, which can lower the odds of tooth loss. I do recommend if you start supplementing with calcium or eating calcium-rich foods, make sure you're getting plenty of magnesium. There's a yin and a yang in our bodies to calcium and magnesium. There are problems with over-consuming calcium and not having enough magnesium. I believe it can lead to hardening of the arteries. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that's what I've read and done on this show before, so make sure you're getting plenty of magnesium. Also says consider coenzyme 10. Research is still kind of pending on that for oral health, but it is good at fighting free radicals and tamping down inflammation, but they suspect it might be good for gum health. So anyway, the mouth may be one of the keys. And, you know, when I read these stories about the fact that they're linking gum disease to mental health stuff. For those of us out there in the dating world, we may need to start pulling apart the lips. Kind of, you know how they check a horse before you buy a horse? Everybody out there approaching somebody new for a long-term relationship, yeah, you might not want to take a look at those gums before you go much further. I would say that maybe that's not a first date thing. Let's get that to a third or fourth, fifth date before you start doing it, but it might be something that you consider. I've got other stuff. I don't think I have time to get to it, but you know, we're about to start a new year. So next week, I've already got some notes for next week. We'll start talking about some easy substitutions you can do. I focus on that a lot, but I think it's worth repeating again if you want to start just tiptoeing into this stuff. I get excited about a new year. We're going to talk about fasting some next year too, because at some point in January, and I'll set a date if anybody wants to do it along with me, anywhere from a 24-hour to a 5-day water fast. I like the reset. There's plenty of science around fasting that it helps you clean up your body and kind of do a reset. It's the only great reset I want is the one that I do on my body every January. And I'll tell you right now, it's like the popcorn and soda I had last night at the movies. In December, I'm not nutritionally sound. Anybody around me at holiday parties or anything like that will let you know that I let my nutritional freak flag fly in December, but it also starts to get, because I don't feel as good when I eat bad foods. I would imagine it's what most people feel like all the time. They just don't know that they feel bad because they don't ever feel really, really good. So I get towards the end of December and I'm kind of like, all right, I'm ready to tighten up my nutrition. I get excited going into a new year because I know I'm going to clean up and I'm going to start feeling better. So we'll start tackling that next week. Start getting your mind right about recovering your health in 2022 and escaping the medical system. I'll see you tomorrow.
No matter Bye-bye. How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.